Yep, man. Well, it's already been good. Somebody said, y'all hold on, let me see who's behind me. I'm a little worried about some of them, amen. A lot of you don't know me, and I don't know a lot of you, but it's probably a question in people's minds. One of two things: can he or can't he? I'll say he can't unless God helps him. Somebody say amen. Good to be in the Lord's house. Thank you, preacher. I mean that. I'm telling you. And I love Brother Mark and his wife and family. And God's doing big things at Calvary Baptist Church. Y'all know that, right? God's been doing big things for a long time. And God is gracious. And boy, I appreciate the Lord letting Thanks to Calvary come tonight. And what an honor for us to be here tonight. Can I get an amen, Thanks to Calvary? Amen. And we never take it for granted to get to go preach somewhere. I mean that. And I love you, Pastor, and I love what God's doing here. And a preacher mentioned about Mercy and Truth. Thank you, church. I want to say that the last few years where we started that ministry, where we helped the Tri-County area, we couldn't do it without churches just like Calvary Baptist Church. And the gifts that y'all gave, I promise you, we praised the Lord, and we've prayed for y'all's church for doing that. And man, we prayed for churches that don't help us too, but it sure is a blessing when folks do. I tell you this, last year, if I'm right, Jeremiah, around 35 to 38, I can't remember exactly, souls that were saved through Mercy and Truth Ministries last year. And God let us help almost 3,100 people in the Tri-County area, Surrey, Yadkin, and Wilkes, almost 3,100 with Christmas this past year. And so to God be the glory, amen. And I couldn't do it without good folks just like yourself. And I thank you. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. The book of John tonight, John chapter number 12. And I'll be honest with you, my church about preached me to death this morning. And when I'm this tired, usually I can't preach but about an hour and a half. So I apologize that if I don't go long enough tonight. I hear that y'all have a long-winded preacher. Actually, I hadn't heard that, amen. But he is an independent Baptist preacher, so probably so, amen. You know, there's a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation. Anybody ever been to church to a hostage situation? Ain't going to be one of them tonight, all right? I'll mind the Lord, but I'll promise you I won't hold you too long, amen. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word out of the King James Bible. I like that hearty amen. It's the only Bible God uses for us English folk. It's the only Bible I use. I don't even study out of other versions. I got computer programs on my computer, on my iPad, and they'll pop up with them ESV, ASV, NIV, MICKEY, MOUSE. And I just bypass that and go right to the Word of God. Somebody say amen. That's right, amen. John chapter number 12. Y'all make a man feel right at home. I said I wasn't going to preach long, but I'm getting some liberty, amen. Hey, there's two bottles of water. That's about a 45-minute bottle there, and there's another one under there. Hallelujah. No. Boy, y'all got a great lineup of men of God this week. Two of my friends, I know Brother Brady well as well, but Brother Steve Pope and Brother Brian Poindexter, man, those three men of God going to bring it this week. I'm telling you. I know you passed. You listen, you can tell a lot about a man by who he lets in his pulpit. You really can. Boy, you got some of God's choicest men coming this week, and I'm honored to be a part of it. Amen. John chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. I'm glad to be one of them. Amen. Amen. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I think that's what y'all desire this weekend. Amen. For the house to be filled with the Holy Ghost. For it to be filled with a sweet smelling savor to God Almighty. I don't just go to church because it's the right thing to do. I told somebody coming up the road a while ago, we have Miss Stephanie with us tonight, and she's first time she's been with us, and we brought her to this crazy crowd. Isn't that something? Miss Rebecca met her this few weeks ago, and we've been inviting her to church, and I told her on the way up here, boring church is about the most horrible thing that you can possibly do. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, if it's going to be dead dry and dead as last year's corn shucks, I'd just rather stay at the house and eat a bowl of cornbread and milk and some Vidae onions. Amen. I like going to church, but I like going to church when there's a sweet smelling odor. Amen. In the house of God, she broke that box and wiped his feet, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, always important when he speaks, he said, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. You know what he said? God has let Mary know a little something. God has let Mary know a little something. And he said that God's had her keep this in store for this very moment. Did you know if you're in tune with God, he'll show you some things that he don't show everybody else? And by the way, you can go to church every time the doors open, but that don't mean you're in tune with God. Judas Iscariot traveled with the Lord everywhere he went, but he wasn't in tune with God. Amen. And by the way, I didn't come tonight to get out. I came to get in. I want to get in tune with what the Lord's doing. If God's up to something, I want to see what it is. Amen. You can be seated. I'm interested in this passage tonight, and I don't want to rehearse a lot of things, you know, but things, you know, that we all know about this story. But don't you just love the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I'm telling you, some of the most precious pages of our Bible are found in these four books. And I particularly love the Gospel of John. It is my favorite book in the Bible. And my favorite chapter in the Bible is John chapter number 1. I love that book, and I love those verses. And I love the Gospels. I'm not ashamed of the Gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And here in this passage of Scripture, we find a great story of Mary of Bethany as she is anointing the feet of Jesus and preparing him for what was going to be the hardest week of his life on earth. I was looking at this text, and I know the whole Bible is wonderful, but friend, when you get to John chapter number 12 and you start taking that journey of John 12, 13, 14, 15, Lord have mercy, is he preaching all them chapters? No. When you start taking that journey, 16, 17, 18, and it ends up in chapter number 19 at a hill called Calvary, you find in these chapters of the last 7 days of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are now entering into that passage where you are in the final hours of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll say this, his final hours were his finest hours. Son, I'm telling you, if you want to read on holy ground, get in John chapter number 12 and go through the end of the book and see how he suffered for us and see how he bled for us and see how he died for us and see how he was crucified. Oh, but don't stop there. See how he was raised again on the third day. This is holy ground. And right before you enter into that holy ground, you find a little woman, a little nobody in the religious circle, but she was special to him. Hey, I said that religious crowd didn't think much of her, but she was special to him. If you study the Gospels, you'll find Bethany was a frequent stop on the Lord Jesus' journeys. He loved to go to Mary's house. He loved to visit with her and Martha and Lazarus. In chapter number 11, Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead, and now we see him seated at the table here in this passage of Scripture. And here's what happens. Mary gets so filled up with joy and so filled up with emotion and so filled up with thankfulness and gratefulness that she goes in there and breaks a box of ointment and wipes his feet and weeps at his feet and washes his feet, but more importantly, she worshiped at his feet. Now, I don't know everything that goes through Brother Mark Hall's mind. That's a deep subject right there, isn't it? I don't know everything he thinks, but if he thinks like the average pastor does, I know what his heart is for this week. I know what his desire is for this week. As the pastor of Thanks to Calvary Baptist Church, I know what my desires are for my flock. And that is that each of us that are in this building tonight, whether you're from Thanks to Calvary or from Calvary Baptist Church, you'll find yourself a place every day of the week where you can get at his feet and wash him and wipe his feet and weep at his feet and worship at his feet. And give him some glory. What Mary's doing here is giving God glory. And that's what I want to preach on for a little while. When Mary broke that box at the feet of Jesus, it was a public display of affection. Hey, y'all hearing me, aren't you? When Mary broke that box at the feet of the Lord, what she was telling everybody in the house was, I'm not here for you. I'm not interested in what you're doing. I'm not interested in what you think about me. I want everybody in the place to know that he's the best thing that's ever happened to me. I want him to know, and I want you to know that he is worthy. We got a generation of church folk that are too ashamed of what everybody's going to think about them. Well, I tell you what, if it was my first time being at a church, I wouldn't undo my tie. If it's my first time in a church, I wouldn't be screaming and a hollering and a spitting and a sweating and a jumping and a moving around. Well, I got news for you, honey. You ain't the one that saved me. You ain't the one that went to Calvary. You ain't the one that bled and died for me. You ain't the one that's taken me to heaven. So I think I'll just break my box for the Lord. I loved it. I loved it tonight when them hands was going up in Calvary's choir. When them hands were going up in Thanks to Calvary's choir. When I heard somebody go, "Woo! We need some more of that." I said, "We need some more of that." When I was a boy, it was not uncommon to hear the folks worship and hear the folks praise God and hear the folks get lost in the glory of God. We're a far cry away from what we had 30, 40 years ago. Oh, that don't mean we don't have amens. That don't mean we don't have shouting. But we calculate it. We got it figured out. We know how to do it. We know the right point in the song. We know the right part of the message where we're to say amen. Don't get quiet on me now. We know where to say amen and where we know to raise our hand. When's the last time you just got alone somewhere and it wasn't because somebody was singing a song and it wasn't because somebody was preaching a sermon or it wasn't because somebody was giving a testimony, but you just found yourself lost in the love of Jesus, lost in the goodness of God, lost in His mercy, lost in His forgiveness, lost in the glory of God. She broke that box. and gave God glory. Say, preach, how come you keep pulling your breeches up? Have you ever tried to put breeches on a funnel? Preacher said, take your coat off, brother. Dear God, y'all don't want to see all that. Now I want to ask you something. What made Mary go hog wild in this moment? I'll give you number one, the cause of her worship. If you look back, verse 1, 2, he's there in Bethany. Bible said Lazarus was one of them. That word them, Brother Anderson, is pretty interesting. It's an inclusive word. It means Jesus and Lazarus weren't the only ones sitting there, brother. He's one of them. Well, if you go to another gospel, you find out who that was in the them. One of them was Jesus, one of them Lazarus. And the Bible teaches us in a corresponding passage that one of the others was Simon the leper. They were in Simon the leper's house. I was reading in the history book, Jewish history book. Guess who Simon the leper was? Jewish history says Simon the leper was the father of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You say, what caused Mary to worship? Well, maybe this time she is in the kitchen with Martha. Maybe she's in there banging pots and pans around, and all of a sudden she looked in there at the table, and there's Jesus, and there's Daddy, and there's Brother. And she said, it was just a few days ago, my daddy had leprosy and was an outcast. And it was in the last chapter, just a few days ago, that my brother was dead. But I want you to look. I want you to look at who's sitting beside Jesus. I want you to look at who's sitting at the table. In your imagination tonight, can you look at your table and see the miracles of God? Miss Sonia, you've been praying for 5.5 years since that baby girl was born. Look who's sitting around the table. She was dead in trespasses and sin, but this morning she called on the Lord for salvation. Some of you've got a situation that you didn't see a way out of, but look what's sitting at the table. Some of you had an addiction that you didn't know how you was going to break, but look what's sitting at the table. Some of you went through a financial trial and you didn't know how you was going to make it, but look who's sitting at the table. There's probably husbands and wives here tonight. Come on. That you thought it was over 5 years ago. Come on. But look who's sitting at the table. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Has God saved anybody in your life? Come on, preacher. Has God fixed any problems for you? Has God healed anything in your life? What's around your table? I believe Mary looked at that table and saw her daddy and saw her brother and said, I can't help myself. I got to tell him how much I love him. Preacher, maybe the reason we don't worship more is we've had it so good so long. But if you've ever been through the storm, if you've ever been an outcast, if you've ever had something dead in your life, if you've ever had something diseased in your life, and you see God rescue it, and you see God redeem it, or you see God resurrect it, it won't be hard for you to lift your hands toward heaven and say, bless the name of the Lord. Had it not been for Jesus, my life would still... Do you understand? Do you understand Mary could have been fixing dinner for Jesus only? Mary and Martha could have been taking one plate out there. But instead, she said, I got three plates. Taking one plate out there would be good if it was Jesus. But taking three out there would be even better. Number one, we see the cause of her worship. Number two, we see the center of her worship. I don't see her break that box in front of daddy's feet. I don't see her go over to brother's feet and break that box at his feet. You know who she went to? Him. You know what we got in our churches, preacher? We got a lot of man-made junk. I'm so tired of that stuff. And we'll magnify the sinner. Yeah, man. Boy, you should have seen him. He's in the grave. Tell it. Stand up and tell us how bad your life was. Go ahead, Lazarus. Tell us how much you stank.
Come on, brother.
Come on, just stand up. We got a lot of that. And people glorifying past lives and glorifying what they used to be. Hey, hey, Dad, go ahead and stand up and tell us about them sores you had and all that leprosy you had. I'm not belittling where Jesus brought you from, but I didn't come here tonight to worship where you came from. I didn't come here to worship what you used to be. I come here to say that if it was not for Jesus, we wouldn't be where we are right now. He's the center of our worship. He's the only one that deserves any praise. He's the only one that deserves any glory. He's the only one that deserves that box being broken. Number three. Y'all gonna like this one? The critic of her worship. Y'all should have shouted on them first two.
Come on, brother.
There ain't but one person in the house that's mully grubbing. Ain't but one in there that's got the pooch mouth. Y'all know what the pooch mouth is, don't you? I've seen Baptists with the pooch lips so big you could serve six courses on it.
Come on, brother.
I know that never happens at Calvary, but it does at our church. Bless me if you can.
Come on.
I don't like that Mark Hall. I'll tell you how to get rid of him. Show up for church. Show up for church 6 months in a row, perfect attendance. He'll die with a heart attack. Better yet, next time he's up preaching, jump up and say, "Preach, preacher!" If you showing up don't kill him, you jumping up and shouting will surely stop his ticker. They ain't but one in the building that's got the pooch mouth. And it's the religious lost. I don't know if y'all got them down here, but about every church every church I've ever been to, sis, had to praise police. I just don't know if that's spiritual or not. Look at her put her hand up. I know what she used to be.
Come on, brother.
Well, Lord, I ain't never heard nobody say amen as loud as he did. I know what he is at home. Who made you the praise police? But, preacher, I'm about to enjoy myself. I'm telling you, this is dangerous. The praise police. They'll sit around in a church. I mean, they can be 10 or 12 up hooting and hollering. Wow! Jesus, Jesus, Jesus! I just don't think that's real. The only one I got to worry about whether or not they're real, ain't but one.
Come on, brother.
It's me.
That's you, brother.
I ain't got time to sit there and say, I just don't know if Preacher Hall was in the spirit or not. I just don't know if Brother Kenny was in the spirit. I don't know if Brother David. It ain't my business to know if they are. It's my business to know if I am. Ain't but one critic, and he's that lost church member.
Come on, brother.
Everybody hearing the preacher? And I love what Jesus said. Let her alone. Well, I'm just worried. I'm just worried about a little wildfire. Don't worry about that wildfire. There's enough wet blankets they can put it out. I ain't never been in a church that had too much fire. I sure have been in church where there's dead and dry. I heard Brother Billy Kelly preach a lot of times. went fishing with him a lot of times. Brother Billy Kelly said he's preaching in a meet one time. And he said a man had a heart attack right in the middle of the service. He said when the paramedics came through the back door, they checked out four men before they found the one that had the heart attack. Oh, yeah. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but I think I preached revival in that church. Bless me if you can, preacher.
Come on.
But you'll go down here to what school y'all support up here? West Wilkes. You'll go down to West Wilkes, and when they shoot a three-pointer at the buzzer to win the game, in case you're wondering, I act like this at home too, don't I? Or you'll go down there and they'll throw that pigskin 50 yards and touchdown. Woo! Or if your boss man came in tomorrow and said, hey, Chris, you've been doing such an excellent job. You look, he put his hand out. He's not. You've been doing such an excellent job. We're going to increase your pay $25,000 a year. And Chris said, hold on just a second. Bless your name, Jesus. Oh, no. $25,000! Heather, we're going on vacation! But the preacher gets up on Sunday morning. Ain't it good to be saved? Aren't you thankful Jesus died on the cross? You ain't got to go to hell. You're not just saved this week, but you're saved next week, and the next week, and the next year, and the next year. I mean, don't get too excited. You just got everlasting life. And then, lo and behold, it dawns on somebody while the preacher's preaching. Whoa! And somebody says, what's got into them?
Come on, preacher.
Don't ever be critical.
Amen.
Of somebody's worship. Now, if they're talking in tongues, we're going to set them down. That wasn't a big enough amen right there. If they're distracting away from His glory and making it about their glory, we're going to have a talk. But hey, hey, if somebody's really worshiping and loving the Lord, just wanting to give Him, you better leave them alone. Hit me. Not long ago. By the way, boys, y'all need to get right with God and do this again. Not long ago, about four young boys sitting on the front row, and it got good. I mean, it got good, good. It does that a lot around our house. I like it, don't y'all?
Amen.
And about that time, I saw two or three of them take off running, 12-year-old boys, and go around the auditorium and come back and sit back down. You say that upsets you? The only thing that upset me is I didn't catch them and run around with them. So I made up my mind, whether I felt God on it or not, the next time that they jumped up and ran, the preacher was running with them. And I did. That's right. Hey, come on. Are y'all okay? I'm going to run right now. I didn't feel nothing on that. Praise police. Sometimes you got to shout on credit. I don't always feel like shouting, brother. But He always is worthy. I'm getting away from the notes, but it's all right. I said, I don't always feel like shouting. But He's worthy anyhow. There ain't nothing in the Bible that says worship and praise God because you feel like it. You won't find me one verse But I tell you what you will find. You won't find the word feel, but you will find will. I will praise you. I will bless your name. I will glorify. You'll find that all through the Word of God. You know what that means? Sometimes you just got to determine that you're going to praise Him whether you feel like it or not. But I have found this to be true. If I will it, it won't be long till I feel it. Because God inhabits the praises of His people. I will bless the Lord. The critic of her worship. The cause of her worship. Look at your Bible now. The center of her worship. Look at this. The container. I ain't got time to preach all this. But let me give you this. Look at verse 2 and 3. That ointment. Bible said it was costly. Bible said it was a pound of spikenard. Is what John 12 tells us here. A pound of ointment of spikenard. You can go home and you can study that yourself. You know what you'll find out? That spikenard was worth 300 pence. Right here in verse number five, that's what Judas even said. Why was it not sold for 300 pence? Do you know what a pence was? That was a day's wage. That means Mary poured out, come up here and hear this, 300 days of work. And you mully grub this morning about 10%.
Come on.
300 days, if you take in vacation times and take in weekends, I'd say that's a year's salary. 300 pence, a year's salary. Now, I don't know what you make, but let's just say $50,000. $50,000, pretty good average, I reckon. She come in today's language and poured out $50,000 on His feet. Ooh. Can I ask you something? When is the last time you worshiped God and it cost you something?
Come on. Good question.
See, it's easy to worship in an atmosphere like this. When you got somebody hooting over here and somebody hollering over there, why, you can sneak in a hand and nobody even knows it. You can sit on the front row, Brother Shoemate, and do like this and nobody behind you is even going to see it. Go ahead. Did y'all see that? Did y'all see Brother Chris worship? Go ahead and do it again. No, y'all can't see that. Woo! This don't cost much. God been good to anybody? Is He worth two of them?
Yes, sir.
Is He worth a good wave?
Come on, brother.
Is He worth a hallelujah? Is He worth a bless the Lord? Is He worth a woo? Oh, yes, He is. Yes, but guess what? When everybody else had their hands up, well, you was like, well, I can do that too. But when there ain't nobody doing it,
come on, brother.
He's still worthy. He's still worthy. I said He's still worthy. Oh, yes, God has been good. Oh, but preacher, I don't know how to worship. I don't know that there's a bad way or a wrong way to do it. If it's from your heart, it's right.
Come on.
I'm pretty upset that us Baptists have learned how to do it.
Come on, brother.
God don't glory in those sacrifices. You know what He wants? He wants a broken spirit. Ain't that what she did? That's the fifth point. I'm not going to preach it, but that crushing of her worship. There's something about that brokenness in the Bible. I ain't got time to preach all this. I'm just skipping on, over. But that brokenness, when's the last time it cost you?
Come on.
When's the last time you were broken in worship? We got a lot of praise going on in our churches, but not a whole lot of worship.
You're right.
I'm not going to preach a whole message on worship, but I promise you, I don't know that worship is right here.
Come on.
I think worship is right here. See, it starts with praise. But it won't be long that praise will end in worship. When's the last time you worship and it cost you something? Huh? You say, I don't know how to do it. Let me help you. Go in your house tonight. Grab your Bible. Tell your wife, your husband, hey, give me a few minutes. Can you watch the babies? I'll be back in a little while. Well, where are you going? Don't worry about it. And just go crawl alone somewhere. Shut the door to your bedroom. Hold your Bible up close. And say, God, I don't really know how to do this. But I know I'm saved. And I know I'm saved only because of you. And Lord, I don't have everything that I want, but I sure do have everything I need. And Lord, I just want to thank you for my Bible. I want to thank you for my salvation. I want to thank you for my church. I want to thank you for my preacher. I want to thank you for my job. I want to thank you for my family. I want to thank you for my children. I want to thank you for my parents. I want to thank you for my friends. I want to thank you for Calvary. I want to thank you for heaven. I want to thank you for your son. I want to thank you for shedding your blood. It won't be long. You'll worship him. You'll worship him. Well, I can't do that. You know, God had three archangels, I believe. Michael, Lucifer, and Gabriel. Michael, I believe, is the archangel of the Father. He's the mighty one. Gabriel, I believe, is the archangel of the Holy Spirit because he's constantly doing the work of the messenger. But the Bible said a third, according to Revelation, fell out of heaven. Don't that make sense? If there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that Lucifer would be an archangel and his delegation fall with him. Now look up here and hear this. You know who I believe Lucifer's the archangel for? I believe he was the archangel of Jesus Christ. Did you know the Bible said he was the anointed cherub? Did you know there's only three offices in the Old Testament that were anointed? Prophet, priest, and king. All of those are the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our prophet, priest, and our king. And Satan, Lucifer, was the anointed one in heaven. Y'all with me?
Yeah, boy.
But Lucifer, the Bible said he had stones in his being. He had tablets and he had pipes. Literally, his body was a built-in orchestra. He didn't have to learn to play the instruments. He was the instrument. And Lucifer had all of these rocks and stones in his being that when Jesus' glory hit those, it would reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. Now come here and hear this. If I were to ask you, who's the meanest person in North Wilkesboro? Well, I tell you, I know who. If I were to ask you, who in North Wilkesboro is more like Satan than anybody you know? I know who, that drunkard up the road that beats his wife. He's more like the devil than anybody I know. Oh, no, wait. That drug dealer selling them drugs to those kids, he's more like Satan than anybody I know. Oh, I'm going to tell you who it is, Brother Jeremy. That woman selling her body on the street, she's more like the devil than anybody I know. You know what happened in heaven, preacher? The time came when Lucifer looked at Christ and said, I'm too good to worship you. And the person that's most like Satan than anybody else are people that sit on our Baptist church pews that know the grace of God, Know the mercy of God. Know the forgiveness of God. Know the depths that Jesus went to save our unworthy souls and sit and say, I'm too good to worship. I don't know all that Brother Hall desires for this meeting, but one thing I know about revival, it is a time for the church to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I know we got a crowd in here tonight, but this altar's got plenty of room for some. Church, thanks to Calvary, y'all can kneel in your pews up there. You can kneel where you're at. But every one of us ought to find a place right now and tell the Lord how much we love Him, how much we appreciate Him. Ask Him, God, give me liberty to worship You publicly and give me liberty to worship You privately. God, give me liberty. God, I want to love You more. I want to worship You more. I want to do like Mary. I want to be willing to break whatever You ask. God, if it costs me something, help me to be willing to worship. God has been so good. God has been so good to you and I. God has been so good to you and I. God has been so good. We get so distracted with the lies of Satan, with the attractions of this world, with the desires of our flesh. But when's the last time? When's the last time you got along somewhere and just loved on Him? And just thank Him. And you didn't get in a hurry. When's the last time you had to call into work and say, I'm going to be a few minutes late. Something's come up. And all it was you and Jesus were having such a time, you couldn't leave Him. When's the last time going down the road to work, it got foggy in your car. It got foggy in your truck. Because it was surreal. The presence of God was so real. Break that box. Break that box. The hardness, the coldness of our hearts. The Bible said in the last days, the love of many would wax cold. Oh, we need a revival that'll get us warm again. That'll get us pliable and flexible and movable again. When Calvary does not move you, you need revival. When the suffering of Jesus does not move you anymore, we need revival. When what Jesus did at Calvary for us does not bring us to worship, we need revival. And we're never more like Satan than when we sit with pride and say, I'm too good. I'm too special. Well, I've been in this church for 50 years. I can't act like that. I've been here. I'm a charter member. I'm a deacon. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a preacher. I'm the biggest giver. I'm an usher. I'm a pillar of the church. I can't act like that. Oh, God, give us a revelation of that is when we're most like Satan. Preacher's coming to do as he sees fit.